Thank all of you for being here on this another beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. And it seems like today is one of those days where everybody is about half sick, and if you're not, you're home. And it would be easier for me to announce the ones that are here than to announce the ones that are sick. But there are so many of them, so we need to keep Gail and all of them in our prayers as we go forward. And we need to be with Danny. If there's anything we can do, Danny, just let me know. Let us know. And we'll do whatever we can to help her. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about one of the most comforting and joy-filled words of the Bible. I want to talk to you about reconciliation. And we'll be focusing our attention upon 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You might go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Well, first of all, we'll go to Isaiah, but you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5 and put a ribbon in there if you want to. Now, the word reconciliation means to harmonize, to bring again friendship, or restore fellowship. So when friends have been at odds with one another and the breach is healed, here is a reconciliation, a bringing again of friendship. When a husband and wife have been estranged from each other, how wonderful it is to see a reconciliation take place, a restoration of harmony and fellowship. Reconciliation is the theme of the passage we'll be looking at in 2 Corinthians 5, but it's more than that, brethren. It is the theme of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first man, Adam and Eve, sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, and because of their sin, they were put out of the garden. They died on the day of their sin in a spiritual sense. They became dead in sin, separated from God and the fellowship that they had enjoyed with their Creator before their sin was broken. Isaiah 53, let's look at that just for a second. Isaiah chapter 53. And we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." And if you turn on over to chapter 59 of Isaiah, let's read verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins hid his face from you that he will not hear." The need for reconciliation is universal. It is universal because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. Sin separates us from God, and all have sinned. Turn your Bibles back to the New Testament, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, the state that man is in once he sins is very well described by Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. Here's what he wrote, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Look at that. Just look at that. Without Christ, without aliens, or aliens, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. I just wonder how anybody can get along in this world without God in their life. I don't understand it. This is why reconciliation is needed. This is why the early Christians said the cry, "Be ye reconciled to God." Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, and let's read verses 14 through 21. There Paul wrote, beginning in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made right the righteousness of God in him. And now in this passage, brethren, we learn a great deal about the most important reconciliation that there is. The reconciliation of a sinner to God. A reconciliation of fellowship in harmony. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21 that we just read, we learn the basis of that reconciliation. The effect of that reconciliation. Where that reconciliation is located. The means by which it is achieved and the result. So let's look at each one of these individually. First, let's consider the basis of our reconciliation, the death of Christ. Now, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, but we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Now, a long, long time ago, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, said, the soul that sinneth, it must die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Those who are separated from God by their sins are, in a very real sense, dead. They are dead in sin. Let's look at James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. Now, in James chapter 1, James shows us the progression of sin, how it works, and in James 1 and verse 14 and 15, he wrote, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Look at those steps. That's the steps, James says, is how it happens. That principle, brethren and friends, has never changed. It was that way in the Garden of Eden, and it's that way today. The wages of sin is death. When someone sins, the penalty is death. It is a separation from God. But consider now the grace of God. We sin and we deserve to die. But look at Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. By the grace of God, he tasted death for all of us. And you know what that means, brethren and friends? That means that Jesus took my place. He paid my penalty. He died for me and you. There is the basis of reconciliation. He died for all, and therefore all died. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, let's read what Paul said beginning in verse 22. Colossians 1 and verse 22. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreproachable in his sight. When Jesus died on the cross, brethren and friends, he made our reconciliation to God possible, and without the Lord Jesus and his death, we would be doomed to eternal separation from God. Now let's consider the effect of our reconciliation. And it's found in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when an individual is reconciled to God by the death of his Son, he is then to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, as we find in Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. This new creature is to have a new goal and purpose in life. The new creature seeks the things that are above. The reason for this is very simple and is found in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at that together. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So you see, Jesus died for us so that we could live for him. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2 now. Now this new man seeks God's will, not his own. He lives for the Lord and not for himself. As a matter of fact, Paul put it this way in Galatians 2 and verse 20, and I love this passage. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that a beautiful passage? How beautiful it is. Because of his mercy, Christ died for us that we might be born again, made in new creatures, and live our lives for him. Well, how about the location of our reconciliation? The location. Paul points it out in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. Look with me. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the only access to the Father. We cannot come to him by any other way, no matter how much man says you can, but you cannot. Jesus said, we reconcile to him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I'm sure the Catholics would disagree with that because they say the priest can do the same thing. The Bible doesn't say that, and I'd love for them to tell me where they get that. Jesus, just as all spiritual blessings are found in Christ, so too is reconciliation. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ, and so is reconciliation. Remember what Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20? Let's look at that. Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20. He wrote, For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. No person, brethren, no person can be reconciled to God if they reject his Son. It's impossible. Reconciliation is to be found only in Jesus. All mankind, regardless of race or economic circumstances or occupation or education or any other consideration, can find reconciliation with God only in Christ. Don't care who you are. I'd like you to look at a couple passages with me from the book of Romans. And in these passages, Paul writes about the death of Christ and its blessings for us. Romans 5, if you would. We'll go there. I love this passage too. And I think about how great our God is. How great our Lord Jesus is. But God commended his love towards us. That's his verse 8 and 9, where I told you now. But God commended his love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. God commended His love towards us when we are sinners and sent His Son to die for us. Now let's go over just one more chapter to Romans 6. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Paul also wrote, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." This is reconciliation, brethren. This is reconciliation. Those are the exact points that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, the death of Christ, the reconciliation being in Christ, and the one who is reconciled being a new creature in Christ Jesus. We've talked about that before. When you rise from this watery grave, you're a new creature born again and on the road that leads to heaven. You've heard me say it so many times. Now, let's consider now the result of reconciliation. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. And Paul deals with it in verse 21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in Him." If we are in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. Now, it is not by our works, but by His. None of us perfectly keep God's commandments. Even as we try, there are times that we fall short and we sin. And if we had to rely upon our own works, if we had to rely upon our earning our salvation, we would fall so helplessly short and be lost. But because Jesus died for us that we might be reconciled to God, we are the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, a man who is guilty of many sins can be blessed as if he never sinned and be clothed with the righteousness of God because of Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 19, if you will, of 2 Corinthians 5. Paul wrote, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." God, through Christ, has provided the way of salvation and is willing and ready to save all those who have come to Him in obedience to the gospel. He didn't want anybody to be lost. He says it. He tells us that. And He says, God, through Christ, has provided the way of salvation and He's willing and He is ready to save all those who have come to Him in obedience to the gospel. Again, brethren, how many times have you heard me say obedience? That's the theme of the gospel from Genesis 1 on through the end of Revelation. Obedience. When men come into the obedience of the gospel, God forgives their sins. He holds them against them no more. They are righteous because they are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful that we can do that? That He gave us that avenue? Then finally, let's look at the means of our reconciliation. Paul points it out in the last part of verse 19 and all of verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. "And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that ye be ye reconciled to God." God has proclaimed the gospel as the means of making the possibility of reconciliation known to all mankind. The gospel. This is why the Lord said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The word of reconciliation is the theme of true gospel preaching today. The gospel of Jesus is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. That's in Romans 1:16. So, wherever and whenever the gospel is preached, reconciliation is the theme. Think about that. You remember Acts 2:38, when the apostle Peter told the people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? You know what he was doing? He was doing no more than pleading with those people to be reconciled to God. One last passage. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 1, verse 18. Paul wrote, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross is another way of saying the word of reconciliation. Paul exhorted Timothy to preach the word. Again, that is the word of reconciliation, the gospel. That is our concern today, brethren. We proclaim the same message that Jesus and Him crucified. And we beg the lost and all of the world to be reconciled to God. That's what we do. That's our job. We proclaim that same message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we beg the lost of all the world to be reconciled to God. Now there is, my friends, no passage of Scripture known to me that promises forgiveness of sins after death. And thus I say with Paul, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Watch your life, your words, and your actions. Study to know that God would have you to do what God would have you to do, and when you sin, repent of it and ask your Heavenly Father's forgiveness. And if you're not a Christian, you're living in sin, and the only way you can become a Christian is by coming forward right now, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if you're already a Christian and living in sin, you too need to come forward and let the brethren pray with you and pray for you so that your sins can be forgiven. So I ask you, my dear friend, won't you accept God's grace today and obey? Remember, heaven awaits. Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling all of us to come to reconciliation today. If there's anyone here that needs any kind of prayer or anything, if you've got a problem and you've done something, maybe you've sinned in a way that others are aware of, after you pray to God for forgiveness, you must let the brethren here know and we'll pray with you and for you. Can we help anybody do anything to make their life right with God? I believe Charlie sang that song this morning, didn't you? Make your life right with God? Yeah. So, if we can help you, come now as we stand and as we sing.